and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And with me, Robin, today are Martin.
Hello.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
I'm good. I discovered something incredible this morning.
Oh, yeah?
A toffee yum-yum. Toffee-filled yum-yum.
Sounds good.
Oh, that mate. Does sound good.
I had two of them. Very good. And then a donut and then some fudge, and I'm definitely going to be diabetic by the end of the day. So other than that, I'm good.
Very nice. Very nice.
And Alex is joining us too.
Hello there, Robin. I'm joining you. I know. You guys are joining me this week. Like Where were you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you held the fort last week.
I did.
With the guys from All Time Gaming.
They were great. They were really perfect guests. They're welcome back anytime.
You discussed some really interesting things last week, I thought.
Yeah, it's this weird gaming mystery. It's nice. Ooh. It's nice to slip down that rabbit hole of gaming mysteries, which is quite an interesting one.
Good.
Well, stop doing the eyebrows. I can see you. They can see you as well.
That's fine. Yeah. Everyone loves the eyebrows. Good.
Yeah.
What about you, Robin? You've had a good week.
Good times. I was ill last week, which is why Alex and I wasn't on the podcast. I was going to say, you weren't here either.
No.
Feeling better now. It's that winter, it's that time of year, isn't it? It just goes around, yeah.
Yeah.
We should all stop snogging each other. It's a bad idea. But I've got a news story related to Pablo Escobar.
Really?
To discuss with you today.
I haven't seen this one.
Yeah, he's back in the news.
He's back.
Still going strong. Yeah. Like the Emperor from Star Wars. And what have you two got for me?
Well, I've got a legacy piece about the Kentucky meat shower. And no, that's not something from Urban Dictionary.
It did sound like it did something like
a little bit dodgy.
Yeah, cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Yeah, kind of well, not too far off.
Oh, really?
A little bit more disgusting, but not too far off. So I'll jump into that first and then got a quiz from
A weekly quiz for you guys. Yeah.
Good.
And of course, we'll be looking at favourite comments of the week from you guys, our viewers, as well.
Too bad. And we've also got the Patreon episode as well.
Yeah, we'll do a Patreon episode after this. Exclusive for our Patreon supporters.
Indeed, indeed. Right. Kentucky meat shower.
Let's get into it.
In March 1876, a lady by the name of Mrs. Crouch, a farmer's wife from Kentucky, was out on her porch making soap when she noticed a strange phenomenon from the sky. So she looked up and saw pieces of meat were falling around her.
Oh.
An area the size of a football field.
Oh, no.
Quite a big area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So some of these pieces were smaller flakes, whilst others were larger chunks of meat.
Was it cooked?
Was it cooked? No.
Oh, it was raw.
It wasn't cooked.
Ooh.
And that could be important.
Okay.
Okay. So she's completely baffled. She's like, what the hell is going on? And in her shock, she thought that it could have been her husband and her son being returned to her in chunks from the gods because they had done wrong. So she basically went crazy, right? She was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Meat falling from the sky. Could it be my husband? Could God be punishing me?
That's quite a leap,
yeah,
I think. It's a pretty mad thing to happen. Yeah,
but she was a religious woman.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Like, that's mad.
Mm. So I think she was quite possibly in a state of shock.
Was it obvious what type of meat this was just by looking at it? Was there a hand? Because then, fair enough.
No, it wasn't obvious. Wasn't obvious. In fact, it took a long, long time to get anywhere in terms of knowing exactly what this was, but we'll come on to that. So luckily it became clear quite quickly that it was not her husband and son. Thank goodness for that. But people still didn't know where it had come from. So the local people all gathered round trying to determine what this mystery meat could have been. At the time, some people said that it tasted like lamb. So of course they go straight in and they taste it.
Somebody eats it, yeah.
Yeah, so some it tasted like lamb, whilst others said it tasted like other types of meat.
You're not going to reject a gift from the gods like that.
Meat
fell from
true.
The sky. You're going to try it. It's going to be...
But
right?
Just out of interest, how did they rule out that it wasn't her son?
They came back. They were fine.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, right.
They returned from a day's work.
Tastes like lamb. Humans don't taste like lamb.
Yeah, true. More like pork, apparently. Yeah.
And because it wasn't her son or husband, that was enough to determine it just wasn't anyone.
It couldn't be anybody, yeah.
Oh, it couldn't be anyone then.
It's definitely animals, yeah.
Exactly. So some people
said
they
already had the barbecue going.
Oh, that'd be great if you just impromptu you start up a barbecue, just like, you've got any meat, darling? No, I'm hoping something lands on it.
Yeah.
Meat shower is due any moment. Yeah.
Exactly. So some people said that this must be mutton. It tastes like mutton.
Mm.
Some bloke who was a bear hunter said, by looking at it, this is definitely from a bear. So everyone had their input about what this mystery meat could be.
Mm.
So there were various theories at the time about what could have happened for this meat to be falling from the sky, and they ranged pretty wildly. So a popular theory was that it could have been a gelatinous plant-based material called nostoc, which is often found on rocks and on seabeds as well. And it's not usually visible when the ground is dry, but when it rains, it's believed that this then becomes visible. So it's like a gelatinous substance that kind of puffs up and becomes larger.
That's kind of cool.
When it rains. Yeah. So people thinking, okay, well, you might have mistaken this for being meat, whereas actually it's this gelatinous substance that they knew about back then. I mean, this was news to me when I heard about this substance for the first time.
Not aware of this
either.
It's
just like a plant-based thing that looked like meat and tasted like meat.
No, it looks like it's kind of like a jelly-like substance. But people were like, okay, in her panic of not knowing what it was, it must have been this thing. Right. It was raining at the time.
Would that explain... people tried it and said it tasted like mutton.
Exactly, there are inconsistencies, and that's one of the problems with this theory.
Okay,
yeah. So she saw this coming out of the sky, but this substance, of course, is found on rocks and on the ground.
Yeah, how did they get?
Whereas the meat, of course, was found on nearby trees and nearby fences and shrubbery and stuff like that. Whereas this only grows on the ground, so it doesn't quite explain exactly what was going on here. So a second and slightly more crazy theory was that it was a gelatinous, people love this, meteor had entered the Earth's atmosphere.
A gelatinous meteor?
Yes.
Nice.
Gelatinous containing gelatinous substances had entered the Earth's atmosphere, and pieces of it had dropped down to Earth in a meat shower.
Meteor.
Yeah, and I like it. I mean, dominoes have definitely taken that one. Yeah. And then this this had hit the ground and then, dissolved basically as it entered the atmosphere and hit the ground.
Yeah, as it burns up.
Hit the ground. But
my one problem with that, sorry, is exactly what you just said, Robin. It burns up. The meat would definitely be cooked when that hit the ground.
That's true.
It's true. And also, again, perfect, this is gelatinous, barbecue. Right?
Yes.
Like, what's it a doing? Gelatinous substance. The descriptions of the meat do not match this. And also, this suggests that it dissolved when it hit the ground, whereas the meat didn't dissolve.
Ah.
People tried it.
Yeah, of course. It was.
And it tasted like mutton and bear or lamb.
I haven't tried bear. Actually, I don't know if I've tried mutton. I don't know if they taste similar.
Lamb, right? Of course. Just a more tough version because it's older, right? Old sheep.
I think not many people eat mutton, do they? Because they prefer
not
lamb.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Poor lambs. So this didn't disappear when it hit the ground. So unlikely to be this. And also, samples of the meat at the time were taken and sent to various institutions to try and decipher exactly what this meat was.
Right.
So if there's physical meat being sent around, it's not going to be something that disappears when it hits the ground.
Yes.
More recently, so we're back to kind of modern times now. A guy called Professor Kurt Goad from the University of Transylvania in Kentucky was going through the archives and found a small sample of meat in a jar. I was like, So he'd looked into this story and was like, okay.
So in the University of Transylvania, they had a strange jar of meat.
Yep.
Purely namesake, I believe.
But
still.
Not worried.
Red flags. Spider senses tingling.
Don't touch that meat.
So from Kurt's previous research, he was pretty sure, like pretty damn sure that this was a sample from the meat shower, because there was some faded labeling on there that suggested that it was at the town where this meat shower supposedly took place around the same time.
I want to see this movie. This sounds great. Yeah. I want to see this.
I think it's Cloudy with a Chance of Meat Shower.
Yes, of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So he was like, okay, this is most likely from the Kentucky meat shower. Let's try and find out exactly what this meat is. So he sends it off to get it tested. Yeah. But unfortunately, the tests come back as inconclusive about what the meat is, because so much time's passed. It was kept into this like amber liquid. I'll show you a photo in a bit. And so it can't be determined exactly what the meat is after all this time, unfortunately.
Darn it.
And the story goes on that he actually went and got it made into some like jelly beans, some of it, and then got people to taste it and describe what it tasted like, which is kind of disgusting. And he thought it was kind of a bit more gamey rather than mutton, but that's kind of another story.
How can you make any judgment if it's in bean form and it's been in a jar for over 100 years?
It was basically to try and make it safe as well to eat, so he wasn't going to like die after eating it.
But it was in this liquid, wouldn't it? It absorbed the liquid. That's formaldehyde or something, I assume, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
That's not safe.
So he wasn't sure what it was.
University of Transylvania. University of Transylvania, man.
Yeah, it was weird over there, wasn't it?
That's a pretty strange thing to do.
So yeah, so the question still remains, what could actually have caused this shower? And a viable hypothesis was created shortly after the event itself.
Okay.
But as news often does go out of fashion fairly quickly,
right,
this hypothesis didn't really come to light in a major way. Like, this was a massive news story across the US about this meat shower, and it was like a big mystery. But of course, after a few months pass, people aren't really bothered about what was going on. Mm. So this particular theory, and this might surprise you, was that the shower came from vulture vomit.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting that. I have to say.
I think I have even more questions than I had before.
Yes.
So like one giant vulture?
Well, no.
Of vultures all getting food poisoning at once.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the thing. Vultures don't vomit because they're unwell. Vultures, they eat the carcasses of rotten food. So you think, okay, well, maybe that makes them ill and then they're sick.
Right.
But their stomach is actually so, so acidic that they don't really get unwell.
Okay.
They vomit for a very different reason. So they're sick when they're trying to escape from predators, because they eat loads and loads of rotten carcasses of stuff on the floor, on the ground, wherever they can. So they fill up massively on food of all different types.
Yeah.
And then when predators come along or anything that shocks them or scares them, of course what they try and do is fly away from it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But what will weigh you down if you're trying to fly away?
All that food.
Is all that food and all that meat.
Right.
So the theory goes that vultures near the lady's house were up in a tree nearby, and a whole load of them had got scared at that particular time, and so had tried to fly off.
Yeah.
But of course had to kind of lighten their load, lighten their burden by vomiting down. And so that was what had rained down on the poor lady. And that is what all the local villagers and more recently in bean form had been tasted.
Delicious.
So,
wouldn't you have noticed the vultures? Because that many vultures puking up that much meat, surely.
I mean, maybe something else was going on at the time. Or maybe they had flown up higher than she had seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to know.
If
the wind was up, you didn't hear it.
If they were common in this area, surely that would be like, oh, don't worry, it's just a bit of vulture vomit.
Yeah,
like,
you think.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
People would be aware of it.
Yeah, obviously it doesn't happen as often. As we maybe think.
What would have scared the vultures in that way then? To create this really unusual thing? Yeah.
Well, maybe. But it's just, I thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah, that's a really good story.
But it's kind of like, crazy. I mean, I like it. And it sounds surprisingly plausible. But then there's a moment where you think, wait a second, why is the meteor less plausible than this? You know, it's like,
I think we can go further. Let's come up with some other theories.
Let's do it.
Cattle mutilation, aliens dropped off. They're all there. Or their meat, leftovers from dinner.
Well, there's a theory that isn't too far from that. Yeah, and that's that an alien planet had exploded. And
that's a bit of a long way.
An alien planet had exploded.
An alien planet had exploded. This is, we're talking about 1876 here. Alien planet had exploded. And of course, that then caused a shower of debris to come into our atmosphere.
Yeah.
But because of the density of the meat, it seems like this isn't explained in the theory. Okay, this was by the New York Times at the time of this.
Wow,
and that the meat had then rained down, whereas for whatever reason, the rocks from the planet hadn't, and so
the rocks
maybe it could
up
have been
atmosphere.
Alien animal debris.
They said chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah,
but
and that's
still,
why
they can't.
And that's why it can't be identified. And that's why it tasted not quite like anything that it had before. Mm. Because maybe it
there
was
is
alien.
No way that meat would survive going through space.
Did all the people that tried it also get like superpowers from these radioactive
alien
meat?
Yeah, that's actually all just a Marvel comic origin story.
I mean, the thing is, just as a point of interest, back then I think a common theory was that outer space was not a vacuum, it was the ether.
Ooh.
It was actually a kind of semi-liquid material that filled space. So I guess that theory comes from the thinking that objects could be propelled through space and not be damaged, because it'd be like being carried in a river rather than going through outer space and freezing and then burning up in the atmosphere.
It's mad, but you can understand that without the scientific knowledge we know now, they could at least justify, oh well, for whatever reason we don't quite understand, the rocks aren't coming down as meteors, but the animals parts. I think it was quickly dismissed, actually. But another interesting theory.
What about is this a tornado part of America? How about tornado
Kentucky?
Tornado takes out a butcher's shop.
Or it just hits a chicken farm, shreds the chickens with the force of the whirlwind.
Shreds and then chickens.
I think it was more like kind of red meat.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's a field of sheep.
what's mining like? What's the mining industry like in Kentucky? Any of our listeners or viewers, please get in touch to let us know, because I'm thinking maybe there was like a cattle and they're dynamiting underground to expand a coal mine or something.
Yeah.
And they just do it on top, underneath the cattle. Boomf.
Yeah.
And they all go. Shredded bits of meat flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a herd of sheep. That's what
it would explain the different sizes of meat, but it seemed like they were quite they were irregular but still quite small. Like some of them were tiny pieces.
Well blended. Like
It seemed like the biggest piece was about I think about the size of someone's hand. So not like a size. I mean, you expect if a cow blew up, there might be a few bigger bits.
And a head or something. Maybe an explosion wouldn't really work then.
No.
It's a good theory, though. I buy it more than vulture vomit, gotta say.
Vulture vomit. Oh. But you weren't expecting the podcast to go that way.
No, that was not what I expected at all. I would have expected you maybe to mention a flock of birds got caught in a tornado, but not vulture vomit.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though, that's a self-defense mechanism. Next time I puke when I'm nervous, I'll be like, actually... it's a flight defense mechanism. It's nothing to do with I'm just a weakling.
Well, what I loved about this, like this whole story, was the fact that the theory was presented way back when.
Yeah.
But even the locals at the time, for years after, probably until they died, never really knew what happened because it was never explained to them, because it wasn't part. You're talking about the press back then. It just wasn't a story after the weeks and months after.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's probably better, you know, going to your grave not knowing that you ate vulture.
Oh, well, that's the other side of it for sure.
Did you ever read the story The Color Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft?
No.
Because, I don't know, this reminded me a lot like that. Yeah. It's just a farm in New England, I think, and a meteor lands, and the land all starts dying, and then it turns this incredible, indescribable color because it's, it's an alien meteor and it's kind of reseeded itself. Been made, I think, into a film with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, goodness.
Directed by Richard Stanley.
Sign him up.
So, first in line on opening day.
Oh, it's being made into it,
It has been made, I think. Yeah, there's a trailer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. Hasn't been released yet. Or has been released?
I don't think so. No.
How would they represent an indescribable color in movie form?
This is why no one has made this into a film until now. But Nicolas Cage is the man to do it. Yeah. It's indescribable.
It's like green mixed with blue. So turquoise.
Oh dear. That's a great story, Mark.
Yeah, that's really good. Interesting
story.
Good. Yeah. What do you fellas at home think? Listening to us or watching us on YouTube, please let us know. Contact us on Twitter. I'm at alltimerobin.
At alltimemartin.
At Alex Brown ATC.
Oh, he's done it now. He's nailed it.
Every week you've nailed it, and we're like, damn.
Damn. Slip up. But yeah, please get in touch. If you're watching us on YouTube, then please comment below. If you're watching us or listening to us, via one of your podcast platforms, get in touch via Twitter or comment with a review.
That'd be great.
What you think?
Yeah.
And speaking of your thoughts and comments, what are our comments from the week?
So I've got a comment in our latest video on the art heists that were never
10
solved.
10 unsolved art mysteries,
And this one came from Menko Monty, and I loved this comment so much. Okay. Wouldn't it be so funny if Neil Buchanan was revealed to be Banksy? That is Neil Buchanan from the children's British TV show Art Attack. I'm assuming. Which was amazing. That was one of my favorite shows growing up.
I imagine that to our American viewers, you're probably like, no, that's not funny. Who's Neil Buchanan? Just look him up. He just wears like a red sweater.
Well, he's in a heavy metal band now.
Is he? No.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing. Look him up.
So I've got a comment from Jordan Dudley 98. And he says, you guys are amazing. Thank you. I've been off work for almost 6 months due to getting run over. I hope you're doing all right.
Gosh.
And discovering stories from the bunker has kept me going whilst also learning some cool shit. Aww. Thanks for all the content, guys. I look forward to more.
Oh, so thanks very much.
Thanks, Jordan, and really hope you're, you know, doing well after getting run over. That doesn't sound like
it fun. Must be tough being out of work for that long and after being run over. That's bad.
It is bad getting run over,
and only having us for, you know,
hopefully there's some other podcasts too. You're not waiting for the hour and a bit a week.
Yeah. Here's to you, Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah.
I've got a comment on the 10 art heists again.
Okay.
This was from Manny in Michigan, who says, I steal fridge art from random houses I visit and replace it with others. Flipping mastermind over here.
Nice. Stealing fridge art, fair enough. I mean, it's kind of, what is it, a development on the kind of book swap thing of leaving a book and then...
Oh, right.
You know, maybe. I don't know. Is that how you see it?
But if you're stealing it, those people don't want you to take it.
No, that's true, actually. Yeah. No, it's thieving. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He's just in it for the thrill, isn't he? Sick person.
Fridge art, that tends to be children's art, doesn't it? Very of sentimental value to the parents, but of no value to anyone else.
Oh, as in like the actual like drawings that people you pin up on
that,
their fridge.
If you're thinking about that kind of art.
Oh, that's mean.
Did you have another?
I was just thinking magnets, but actually, now you've mentioned it. Yeah, fridge art is,
Yeah.
Little kids
you
drawing.
Bastard. very good.
He's also breaking into people's houses when he does this, so that's
Oh, really?
Are you invited into these random houses, or are you just
I leapt to that
in?
Conclusion, yeah.
There are too many questions here.
Too many questions. That's an unsolved art mystery right there.
Yeah, add it to the list.
Only Manny from Michigan, or in Michigan, knows the answer.
Mm.
All right, well...
cool.
From one crime to another kind of crime, and I've got a story that is related to... Pablo Escobar.
Oh,
yeah.
And it's hit the news this week. So you know who Pablo Escobar was?
Known for his fridge art.
He was known for his fridge art, yes, which he did in his spare time, alongside being a Colombian drug lord. And he was, I think, 7th richest man in the world in the 80s.
Wow,
something like that. He was worth $9 billion.
I can't remember the country, but there's loads of stats on him. His net worth being more than this country and that country.
Mm. I can believe it, because I think at one point the revenue from his drug business was like $20 billion a year.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, given that he was worth $9 billion, makes me think the overheads for drug smuggling are quite high.
I guess when you get to a certain too risky. Can you get to a certain stage, maybe? Did you see was it American Made? Was it the Tom Cruise?
Oh yeah, that was good. Yeah.
That was Pablo Escobar, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
Him doing drug runs for him to Colombia.
And the CIA, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a double agent.
Iran-Contra
thing.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Nicaraguan Contras, is that the
thing? That's right,
yeah.
So anyway, Pablo Escobar, he was shot dead by police 25 years ago. He was 44 when he died. He was known as the King of Cocaine, and he supplied around 80% of the cocaine to the US during the 80s and the 90s. Yeah. And now... his brother, Roberto, has launched what he claims to be an unbreakable, foldable smartphone made of gold.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd say made of cocaine.
No, made
of gold.
Gold. Yeah.
Unbreakable.
Mm. Unbreakable, he says. So
nothing is as unbreakable as the Nokia 3310.
Oh, wow.
According it's a folding phone. I mean, I'm not convinced about folding phones.
It's like that Samsung, what was it called?
Bendy phone.
The bendy Samsung phone. Yeah,
I know the one.
It's like that, but it will fold. This one apparently will fold over.
Yeah, he should just stick to cocaine, shouldn't he? Come on.
I think he has been doing the cocaine. That's the problem. But he apparently is priced at $349.
Oh,
it's gold plated. It's not solid. Yeah,
it's gold plated. Yeah, and it's called the Escobar Fold 1, and the default background theme is a picture of Pablo Escobar smiling at the camera.
The background of it?
Yeah, the background of the... of
the default?
The default, yeah.
So can you change it?
I hope you can. And it says, my phone cannot break because I did not have to make a glass screen like Samsung did. Our screen is made of a special type of plastic and we still have the best resolution. Our special plastic is very difficult to break.
No chance. $350, you got the best screen. I don't think so.
You know how some like tech overviews are just very specific, you know, like we use this kind of metal, this kind of, you know, it's very specific. He's described it as special plastic.
Special plastic.
Okay. I mean, in fairness, $350, I haven't looked at the phone at all, but that's...
You're thinking about it.
It's going to be a pile of horse, isn't it? It's going to be awful.
But for a foldable phone, they're very expensive at the moment. Like, the others are like $2,000.
Yeah, there's a reason. This is going to be awful. Please don't kill me, Escobar. This is going to be awful. Yeah.
But his plan, he says, next month he plans to sue Apple in a $30 billion class action lawsuit.
$30 billion?
Yeah.
They're going to take your cocaine money, mate.
And he's accusing them of being scammers and cheating people and selling worthless phones, which, I mean, it's a reasonable point.
But the last bit, fair enough.
But just imagine that if he won that case. 2020 would be mad. Pablo Escobar's brother wins $30 billion from Apple.
How mad is that? Why?
That'd be mad.
So my question is, where do you think the capital for developing this new phone has come from? And it sounds like you're skeptical about the phone's quality itself, but
where has the funding come from for this?
Mm.
I'd be very surprised if it gets off the ground at all, if there's just a few concepts and it hasn't been made. Is it actually
like, well, it's got a price, so presumably you can order it. Yeah. That's a good point, actually. I haven't checked to see if it's just pre-order, in which case, do they have to deliver? You can order it and maybe give your money away.
I mean, do you reckon it'd be a front for smuggling things in the cases?
Ooh. Gold, yeah.
But then you wouldn't want to bring a class action lawsuit, would you? It really draws attention to it.
Yeah.
Or does it deflect? Because it's like cat on the table thing.
Maybe.
It's such a big deal that no one's looking at the smuggled things in the phones.
Yeah. You'd want to say it's probably family money, wouldn't you?
Well, that's family funds. Word, yeah.
We're saying all this. You've got, and this person could be lovely. He could be like the nicest guy.
He could be. He wants to obviously a little bit mad.
he just cares about consumer rights and he hates what Apple have done, you know, destroying.
It could be. Pablo could have been the bad egg in the family.
Yeah. And he just wants to restore the good Escobar name, you know.
Well, do you want to know a bit more about him?
Love
Alberto
to.
Escobar.
Let's see if he's actually a lovely man.
No, that's
lovely
fine.
Well, let's see. Come on.
Well, he's 72 years old, and in 2014, he founded Escobar Incorporated. And he's clearly got a beef with certain big corporations, because in 2016, he threatened Netflix and demanded that they send him $1 billion in payments for unauthorized usage of content in their Narcos series.
Right.
Which did make me think of like what the laws exactly regarding living people being portrayed in that kind of show, you know, like
it
the
could
Crown
be defamation.
Could the royal family? He also in January 2019 launched a GoFundMe page to raise funds to impeach Donald Trump.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who GoFundMe for that?
Yeah.
What would that do?
I don't know.
Does he need funds? Does he need a GoFundMe?
It's interesting, yeah.
Or is it? It's GoFundMe. So, I mean, of course, they're trying to get money, but also it raises awareness, doesn't it? It's like if you look on GoFundMe, and some people like to browse and see what's going on. You can, if you find that it's to impeach Donald Trump, it gets people to see your profile about it and what your views are. It's kind of almost a brand builder as much as it is a fundraiser.
Pat, in the whole like Donald Trump saga of this, you know, political drama that's unfolding in America, surely the season finale has to be Pablo Escobar's brother gets Donald Trump impeached.
I like it.
That would be impressive, wouldn't it?
The writers would have gone mad.
Well, it gets even better, because in July 2019, Escobar accused Elon Musk of intellectual property theft over a propane torch that Escobar Incorporated is selling that's designed to look like a flamethrower.
Mm. quite niche.
And Elon Musk's company's created a not a flamethrower promotional product.
Oh yeah, the Boring Company.
The Boring Company, at the same time.
Okay.
And Escobar says that he came up with the idea in 2017 and discussed it with one of Elon Musk's engineers.
They
stole the
What's
idea.
What's he saying? He invented the flamethrower.
He invented the propane... The propane torch made to look like a flamethrower.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's what he's saying.
Right.
And apparently Escobar publicly invited Musk to settle the dispute for $100 million.
It's a fair offer.
He's going to go, no chance.
So there's an interesting kind of, he's just chasing big companies for money at the moment, it seems.
He's going, you're not going to want to actually settle this in the courts. You're going to try and pay a settlement.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get you to pay a settlement, basically.
Which makes me wonder, though, about what surely he has a fortune. You'd think he'd have a fortune, being being the brother of Pablo Escobar, who was $9 billion at his height. You'd think he'd have something. Because
do they not take all of Escobar's money?
I hope so.
Took all of his money. I mean, yeah. Good luck.
How are they going to do that? I mean, Roberto Escobar, just so everyone's clear on this, was a co-founder of the cartel that Pablo Escobar ran, and did serve 12 years in prison. A lot of people still think of Pablo Escobar as a hero, don't they? In Colombia.
Yeah, massively. There's like monuments and statues to him.
Yeah,
and
he donated all those homes for homeless people, didn't he?
Yes.
Like hundreds of them.
Yeah. There was that, and also there's a lot of tourism of places he stayed and lived. And
yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah. I remember that. What was that festival? Fire Festival was advertised as...
It was meant to be his island, wasn't it?
Pablo Escobar's island.
Private island. And then it had to get moved because...
But it
they
never
did,
was.
They, yeah. Well, wasn't it originally? And then they had to move it to the other island because the people that owned the Pablo Escobar island said, you can use the island as long as you don't say it's Pablo Escobar's private island. And they were like, over every promotional thing, they were like, it's Pablo Escobar's island. And so they had to move it.
That was a dumb move.
It was stupid. Oh. So, yeah.
So Fire Festival, similar to this smartphone, you think, maybe? Bit of a scam?
Scam.
Ugh, bit of a...
You know what? I don't want to get killed. So benefit of the doubt, good luck to you. Set it for $350. I hope it's made of good quality stuff, but I just don't think it's necessarily going to get off the ground. And your lawsuit against Apple is just ridiculous. Mm. What are you doing?
Doomed to fail.
That's the thing. I mean, we're being very negative about this phone. I don't know anything about it. I hope that, you know... Pablo Escobar's brother is going to be the one to really bring the foldable smartphones
it
to the mainstream.
A great twist. It would
That'd be a
like,
great twist, yeah.
Yeah, like the computer being invented by Al Capone's brother.
Imagine like, that. In a few years, it's going to be, you know, Apple, Samsung, LG, whatever, Sony, and Escobar. Roberto Escobar.
Yeah.
Yeah, just there.
There we go. I'm sure some people will buy it, if nothing else out of novelty.
Hmm. I'm surprised it's not one of those very niche ones that's priced like £20,000 or.
I thought you were going to say 350,000 when you said 350. Yeah. I was like, just because of being gold and being Escobar,
it was going
to
be like one of those exclusive
things. All you need is 10 stupid rich people to buy it, and you're fine.
But nobody wants it for the people.
Okay,
fair enough.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Anyway, would you guys like a quiz?
I'd love a quiz.
Yes, please.
Hello, guys, and welcome to this week's quiz, where, as always, there will be 10 questions followed by a bonus question. Ooh. You know how it works by now. You've got it.
Oh, I hope so.
The theme is general knowledge.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I got excited there for a moment.
No, just general knowledge. Let's get cracking. Oh, no, let's see. Hear your buzzers. Oh. Whoa. Martin, what have you got for me?
Always miss the buzzers. So I've got a classic Star Wars. The Wilhelm scream.
The Wilhelm scream.
Very nice.
I have also gone for Star Wars.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Buzzer, blaster.
Yeah, it's quite loud, actually.
is that Stormtrooper blaster?
Well, it says it's the TIE fighter blaster.
Oh, actually, right? that sounds really
I think it is a TIE fighter one. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So the Wilhelm scream, was that, like, did that originate in Star Wars? Where did that come from?
It originated in the 1950s.
Okay. You don't get a point for that, but...
Oh.
It's kind of popularized in Star Wars because they used it again and again, right?
Yeah, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
So I guess Lucasfilm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Popularized it.
Okay. Question one. What color is cerulean? Cerulean. Yes.
What color is it?
What color is it?
Cerulean.
Oh, no. This is going to go wrong.
How does...
It's a shade of blue?
It is a shade of blue.
Oh,
well
good.
Done.
How do you spell it?
Cerulean.
Cerulean. Okay, cool. Yeah. What kind of blue? Do you know? Just blue, innit?
Just blue. Like on the lighter
like
end,
you're
I
wearing.
Think.
Blue.
Like
your I could be wrong.
Similar. No, I definitely don't know.
Yeah, I've no idea.
Cerulean. I imagine lighter, but not too light. Just like
whoa,
medium.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay. Question two.
Okay,
cool.
What are a group of dolphins called? A group of dolphins. Martin.
I'm going to go for a pack. A pack of dolphins.
A pack of dolphins. It's not a pack. No. I'm afraid to say.
That's a good question. Because a school is a school of fish, isn't it? Mm. It's generic fish. But dolphins are mammals.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes all the difference. I don't know.
So it's packed,
is it like a... Shouldn't... Oh. I don't know, Alex, because they should be allowed to self-identify.
Okay. So I'm gonna I'm gonna minus a point from Robin for that.
I don't know.
What do you reckon? Go for it.
Do you want a clue?
Have a guess.
Yeah.
Have a guess first.
Oh yeah, have a guess.
Oh, would you? Okay.
That counts as a guess. I think it's the same collective collective thing for whales as well, if that helps.
Oh. Is that a pod?
It is a pod.
Pod. Yeah.
A
pod of dolphins. That's familiar, actually.
You were very close because you logicked your way into
the mammal thing.
The mammal thing.
That's good.
And then you just left it there.
Well, you know, I'm just testing you, Alex.
Okay, so that's 2-0 to Robert.
Good start. Very good. Okay.
Question 3. How many men have walked on the moon, allegedly?
Oh. How many Apollo missions are there? I'm going to say 12.
Unbelievable. 12 is correct. Oh, yes.
I was going to say 12 too.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Can you name them all?
I was going to say 10.
No.
Then you don't get the point.
Obviously, the first two were Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, weren't they? And the last one was Edgar Mitchell. Was that the last guy to walk on the moon?
I don't know.
I can't remember that.
Maybe. He was definitely there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was on the moon. And then he went off and really believed in aliens and stuff.
He really did.
Fair enough. Yeah,
because of what happened to him
on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the, you know, witness accounts, you've got to trust him, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Next question.
It's 3-0 to Robin. Question 4.
All right. I'm Robin. Yeah.
Who has won the most Academy Awards?
Oh.
Martin.
Walt Disney.
How many?
Let's go for 16.
That's more than 16.
20-1. 20-1.
It's more than 20-1.
Yeah. 26.
It's 26, yeah.
There you go. Oh. So, first time.
Nice.
There you go.
Just cut all the rest of the game.
Yeah. Well done.
He won 26 Academy Awards. That's crazy. I guess it makes sense.
Made a lot of films.
Makes sense.
Does that include the 7 little ones he got for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
They did.
Question 5.
Okay.
So that's 3-1. Mm-hmm. The cod is what type of animal? And I'll give you a clue. It's not a cod.
Oh. The cod.
It sounds like a type of bird.
It is not a bird.
Oh.
Okay.
How specific do we have to be with this?
Cod.
More specific than like bird, fish, mammal.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
It's a type of animal.
Okay. I was going to go with...
Bird's always a good shout. If it's not fish or bird, then
yeah. Cod.
Yeah, I want something a little bit more specific than that. The family of animals.
If I say beetle?
It's not a beetle.
Oh.
It's not a cod frog, is it?
Do you want a clue?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah. Why not?
It's not a bird. It may want to eat a bird, maybe.
Oh. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Traditionally. These kind of things too, I guess.
That will make it a cat.
It is a cat.
Yeah.
And it's actually the smallest cat in the Americas.
Yeah. Oh, is it that really cute one?
There's a couple of different types. You may be thinking of the rusty spotted cat,
possibly,
which is like the smallest cat in the world. This one's a little bit bigger. But yeah.
The smallest cat in the
It's very small.
In the Americas.
Niche.
South America, is it?
Yeah. It's based in South America.
When you said it might want to eat a bird, all I thought of was that disturbing video. Have you seen the video of the seagull eating another bird whole?
Just
goes, opening up his mouth massively and just eats this other bird.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's really
disturbing.
Didn't
know seagulls ate birds.
If anyone hasn't seen that, enjoy.
That's gross. I did think of birds as well when you said that. I was like, because eagles and things eat birds. I was like,
yeah, so another bird.
Do that, yeah.
Ooh,
but a grim. Seagull, ugh.
Grim.
Ooh. It's mad.
Ooh.
Okay, 4-1.
Whoa.
Question 6. Which line on the London Underground rail system has the most stations? Martin.
Is it the Circle Line?
It's not the Circle Line. I'm sorry to say.
Is it the Central Line?
It's not the Central Line, no.
Oh.
Martin.
Technically two halves. The Northern Line?
No, it's not the Northern Line either.
Really?
It's not the Northern
Line.
Two branches of the Northern Line, yeah.
Come on. Oh. Yeah, you go for it.
No.
That's right.
No, I haven't got an answer.
You know the lines, just guess.
Well, at this point, that's the point. I'm just going through the lines. Yeah, at go this for point.
It. Let's both go through the lines.
Fine. Metropolitan line.
It's not a metropolitan line.
There you go.
The district line.
It is the district line. Yeah. How many stations got, do you reckon?
It's got 41.
More
than 41
more
stations.
More than
41. Long line.
52.
More.
64. What?
No, just 60.
60.
60 stations.
60 stations.
That's a lot. That is mad.
The most amount of stations out of any of them. Okay. What year? Oh, there's a bonus question with this one. Oh. Bonus point with this one.
Blimey.
Okay. What year was the first ever Christmas card sent? Closest wins. And okay. There's a bonus point if you can tell me who sent it.
Oh, that's just mean. This is a trick question, right?
So should we do the first bit first?
Yeah, let's what do a closest wins.
Because, okay. I mean, when was the card a thing? You know,
Christmas card.
When did that become a thing?
Well, this was the first one, so that's what I'm asking.
See those old Victorian cards, don't you?
Definitely, the Victorians had cards.
Victorian era.
But would it have started with the Victorians or not? I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
I don't know, might as well guess. Let's go for 1841. Why not?
Okay. I will go for 1832.
Martin gets the point, and you were absurdly close.
Really?
As well. It was 1843.
Oh, not bad.
Wow, so 2 years away. Well done. Good guessing.
Okay.
And who sent it?
Any guesses?
I shall guess and say it was Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
It was not Queen Victoria.
Really?
No. As a good guess, and to be honest, if you didn't know it, then I can't imagine you'd guess.
Albert.
What? No, that's not it. It was Sir Henry Cole, who was the first ever director of the V&A Museum, and you can actually see
that's Victoria Albert. So that's why I said Albert for a reason.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Point. Get a point for
that. No.
And you can actually see the first Christmas card on display there at the moment,
right.
I think.
Nice.
Wait, he sent it to someone and then put it on display.
And they went, what the hell is this? Sent
it back. Sent it back. What have you done here?
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay, so that is 4-3. Yeah, 4-3.
Yeah, what question are we in?
Question 8.
Ooh.
What is the only US state to have one syllable in its name? Just one syllable.
Maine.
It is Maine.
Yep, straight in there.
4-all.
Oh,
as we go on to question 9.
Please.
Oh, no.
Okay. Little bit of British history for you now.
Oh, dear.
This week, Britain could be electing a new prime minister.
Yes.
But can you tell me who was the first prime minister the UK ever had?
It's commonly thought to be Walpole.
It is commonly thought to be Walpole. That's the name. That's the answer I've got.
Yeah.
Robert Walpole.
Because he was the first person to call himself Prime Minister, wasn't he?
Yeah. Prime Minister. Yeah.
There's a bit of a grey area because there were people before him, but they didn't actually have the title of Prime Minister.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There we go.
Do you know what party he stood for?
I'm going to say
Whigs.
Yeah, Whigs. Yeah. Okay, you both know more about British history than me. Yeah.
Whigs and Tories.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I was like, what?
Existed,
they were literally called Whigs.
Yeah.
And they all wore Whigs.
Yeah.
They were Whigs with an H, what they were called.
Whigs.
I don't know why. I should look it up. Why
that's
the
a good
word
point,
Whig
actually.
Was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Tory is derived from the Irish.
is it?
Yeah. But ironically, it was the name for people. So. Native Irish people who didn't like the English lords coming in and taking up all the land and kicking people out. We used to, protest and riot and damage property and damage people if they could get hold of them, except all the English landowners would stay in England, so they weren't really there. And they were called Tories because they were like ultra conservative in terms of they wanted things to be the way they used to be.
I see.
And then somehow
that got translated to
from Irish nationalists to
quite the opposite. Probably.
Quite the opposite, yeah.
That was a lovely little aside.
Yeah,
you don't get a bonus point for it, but
I try.
So that is 5-4 to Robin.
Ooh,
as we go on to question 10.
Martin can do it. He can do it.
Question 10.
Still possible technically.
Every year, literally dozens of families sit down on Christmas Day to watch the Queen's speech. Yep. Little dig there. It's probably more.
Dozens.
But can you tell me which monarch started the tradition of a Christmas broadcast?
Was it Queen Victoria?
It was not Queen Victoria.
George the sixth?
It was not George the sixth.
Was it? Had it been George the fifth?
It was George the fifth. George the fifth.
Done it.
Oh, nicely done. It's the first.
Like, when would have actually been able to broadcast properly?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have bothered.
It would have been with radio. Yeah.
Right. It was.
What year was the radio invented?
Well, I don't know. I don't have that on me.
Anyone at home? As soon as Victoria was like, it's way too early.
Yeah.
Well, but it was the first one was in 1932.
That's earlier than I thought.
There you go.
I guess a Queen's speech doesn't have to be. Did you say broadcast in the question?
Yeah.
You could have a Queen's speech distributed, couldn't you?
I suppose you could. Yeah.
King's
not much of a speech,
monarch speech.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I suppose it could be in the newspapers or something.
Yeah.
Or pamphlet.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So
five all.
As we go on to the bonus question, has it been this close? I mean, 5 points each.
I don't think it's been this close for a while.
No.
Yeah.
And
also, I'm
getting the answers as well.
Well, maybe no. You may get this as well, Robin. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry in advance. Okay. Bonus question.
Okay.
The Calcutta Cup is played for in rugby union between which two nations?
England and Scotland.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know the answer to that. But
I thought you'd know the answer, but I put that one in.
That's all right. Yeah.
Just a little rugby question.
Well done.
Very good.
Yeah, well played.
Very good.
Snatch victory from the jaws of defeat there.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I think you were a little bit generous on a few of the buzzers there, Robin. But thank you.
Oh, well. That's all right. Chris, thank you. And you guys at home listening in, let us know your scores. Did you get all the answers right? If you didn't, don't tell us.
Did you know who sent the first Christmas card?
No, I do. I want to know everyone's scores and no cheating. Let us know what you thought of today's topics that we discussed. And if you're a Patreon supporter, then stay tuned. We shall have a Patreon-exclusive podcast for you.
It'll be available right now.
Yeah. It's already there.
So go over and have a look.
Head over.
Yeah. All right, then.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.